You're listening to PodcastJuice.net. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. This is what we do. I'm your host, Michael Dean. And joining me today are Mr. Q Storm. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Ready to get into some of these topics right about now.
All right. Mr. Almost said day dropping. He's not here. Mr. Aunt Pooh, how are you?
Well, you know, in his absence, I do make day dropping. Yeah. I'm doing great on this Saturday afternoon.
All right. And of course, joining me today is Mr. Extraordinaire, Big Sexy and Sack. How are you?
I'm sick, but I'm all right.
All right. You kind of feeling a little sickish?
Yeah.
Well, that leads us into to Black-ish. And Black-ish was it's a new show, just debuted this week. Stars Lawrence Fishburne, Anthony Anderson, Tracy Ellis Ross. And it is a show on, I believe it's ABC TV. And is it a sitcom? I guess you would consider it a sitcom. Yeah. Which deals with a black family living in sort of the suburbs and dealing with, you know, sort of the day-to-day or, you know, things about being black, I guess, in a white world. I don't have the synopsis in front of me, but with the title called Black-ish, it definitely deals with, you know, things of, you know, you having a young son going to, you know, predominantly white school, or maybe a Jewish situation, or, you know, Anthony Anderson working and being black and sort of the corporate world. So I think most of us have watched this first episode. It was a pilot. I'm going to give my quick takeaways real quick. Going into it, I was very apprehensive on what to expect. The constant advertising that I was seeing online about this, for some reason it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I didn't know, like, how are they going to do this? Or what, is this going to be funny? How can you do a show like this? Is it, it's too much? But after watching the first episode, I actually laughed at some of the stuff and could sort of relate to a few of the situations that were going on, particularly when he was at his job. And, you know, I thought it was funny where one of his coworkers was a white dude. He said, he's an honorary black guy. And, you know, I was like, I've seen that before. And then there was sort of the other white guy. He was like, not really feeling like that, and just kind of brushed him off. That was kind of funny to me. His whole promotion thing about being promoted to the urban division, I thought that was kind of funny. The parts where the children, there was a part where they were talking about Barack and kind of like stressing the importance of a black president. And it was funny that I never really thought of it really. But for his younger kids, they were like, what's the big deal? Like, they had no frame of reference, which they shouldn't, because they weren't around before. So their first president is Barack. I just thought that was an interesting sort of thing. I've never seen anybody tackle that subject on TV, let alone it being a major network having something like that. I thought it was interesting. So I will watch the second one. I kind of want to see where it goes. The first episode, particularly when you have pilot episodes, are usually made before they've even got the green light to go forward. And so they're always kind of like not necessarily have the overall tone yet and haven't really settled in. So I'm going to give this a few episodes before I figure out if I'm going to continue on watching it. As I started to watch it, I realized I had not watched a sitcom in years. So it was interesting to me, like, just watching this. I was like, I don't watch these types of shows. So I was like, man, this is not an hour-long drama, which I'm used to seeing. This is something totally different. With that said, I want to go around and get people's impressions. Big Sexy and Sack, did you have a chance to see Black-ish?
Yeah. Yes, I watched it last night because I had recorded it. And, you know, the premise that ran throughout the entire show, you know what, I'm sick of hearing that. You know, how do you maintain your roots? Oh, but again, in the corporate world, that whole urban division, that's also bullshit. So I see where he's coming from with that. But, you know, I don't know if we're going to talk about the actual show itself. And again, a lot of it was a 22-minute show, I take it, like a regular half-hour comedy. It just felt longer to me. And when the oldest kid wanted to explore Judaism, you know, that was met with some fear and hostility and the obvious overreaction, and they're running around in dashikis, and then they've got the whole Run DMC B-boy thing at the end. I'm like, dude, can we get any more stereotypical or any stereotypes in there? Yes, we can. There was that one image during the commercial he shot with all of those images of OJ and Malcolm X and this and that. I'm like, can we pander any more than they're doing right now? And I don't think it'll last long simply because of the production costs involved. I know Anthony Anderson and Lawrence Fishburne are executive producers and producers on it, but they also command a pretty good sized paycheck, as does Tracy Ellis Ross. So I don't know if they're going to have the support financially to keep this show going. And again, this opening episode, I may watch it next week. I may not. I just, the whole fear of selling out and losing your identity, you know, I'm so sick of that fucking premise. I really am.
All right.
Okay. We'll see.
Aunt Pooh, what'd you think about this?
I have to echo Big Sexy's sentiment. You know, the only reason why I have any hope for this show is the fact that Larry Wilmore is involved in a creative who's brilliant on The Daily Show, who's getting his own daily news parody show. And he was behind the first three seasons, I believe, of the Bernie Mac show, which he won an Emmy for in writing. It's just some of these topics is just kind of like played out. And for the most part, they claim to be looking at how this is supposed to be a good, honest take of how black people in the new millennium are dealing with losing their culture. But Anthony Anderson's character comes off so insecure and so thin-skinned and racially sensitive to everything.
Yep.
It's just ridiculous. Like, this isn't just a black thing, but having the 13-year-old son that wants a bar mitzvah, it's like, having done that joke, hasn't a joke been done like 20 years, 30 years now? It's never funny. We get why they want it because they want the extra presents, but they don't even do it in that sense. You're trying to tell me that this is the part where it's just insulting my intelligence. You're trying to tell me that all of a sudden, after 13 or 14 years, the older kids are, the younger kids are 6 or 5 years, now the father was worried that they don't know their black culture? Like, what the fuck were you doing all those other years? So, I'm just a little disappointed with a lot of these things, a lot of things he said. I laughed two times in the episode. One, where Anthony Anderson, he was talking about, you're not describing them right. You mean the black girl? Why don't you just say the black girl? And Anthony Anderson says, you know what? I'm going to have these kids tested. And Lawrence Fishburne says, oh, but when I said it, there was a problem. I was like, ooh, that's stingy right there. And the other one where Anthony Anderson did that little flip while he was B-boy and he fell down. And they had to pick him up because he hurt himself. I thought that was hilarious. Other than that, I just was groaning. I'm trying not to be a contrarian, but they're going to have to show me something different than to keep playing what do you mean by that? What do you mean, you people? Oh, black what?
Interesting. Let me throw in before we go to Q-Storm. You know, looking at the ratings here, it seems to have done very well. Whoa, somebody's got something going on. It seems to be done very well in the ratings. Said it did 12 million viewers. And again, it's the other part of it is this show is positioned behind a very huge show, Modern Family, which I think may have been a good call for them because it maintained all those viewers, it looks like, from Modern Family. So this show debuted very high. Q-Storm, what do you think?
Well, I did not see the show. I caught maybe the first 10 minutes of it before we went on air. And I have to floss a little bit like Big Sexy. Just 2 days ago, I had the opportunity to interview Miss Ross for Black Enterprise Television. And she confirmed what you just said, Mike, that the show held Modern Family's numbers. So that's a good thing. Now, in terms of the show, I'm just going to say off the bat from what little I saw, I guess my question is, who are these black families that feel so where the father feels so ostracized from white society. Maybe not ostracized is not the word, but you guys kind of put your thumb on it. It's like, I don't know any black family that feels like they are such a fish out of water as was presented at the beginning of this show. And, okay, in putting that aside, just the structure of the show, it seems like everything else that I've seen, it's like the Mindy Project, it's like a little bit of Modern Family, it's that style where everything is quick, the dialogue is, everyone's got like a bon mot at the ready, you know, or a witty saying at the ready, quick cuts. It's just like, slow down a little bit.
I've never seen the other shows you mentioned, but is that keeping in tune with what's people are watching, though? Would it seem odd if it was not shown like the other shows?
I don't know. All I can say is that I'm tired of that style. It's like...
So that has nothing to do with... I mean, that you would be tired of the style regardless of the show, then, that sounds like.
Well, I mean, if the show... Again, I only saw 10 minutes. I can only comment on what I saw.
I got you.
And from what I saw, it had nothing to distinguish it from any other show of that nature on ABC or CBS or NBC, other than the fact it's a black family and the father feels like he's in the wilderness in a white suburb.
Okay.
So nothing about it stood out for me. Now, again, I haven't seen a lot of it, but I'm going to give it a shot. But I was not that impressed by what I saw.
All right. You know, I think that, I want to see where they go. You know, I think it comes down to the writing, because in my limited mind, you know, I would admit that it's hard for me to, I mean, how are they going to play this out, right? How can it go for a couple seasons? But I'm not a writer, so that's the challenge for the writers, to see how they continue this on. I think in my mind, I'm like, you can only do these jokes so many times, right? But, you know, I now started to think about, well, that sort of comedy, I would imagine most of the comics of today, that is all they talk about, right? Black people do this, white people do that. A majority of the black comics, that's their bread and butter today. And they seem to have been going on for years. So I was curious to see how they long play this show. The only last thing I will say, this show has a great opportunity, though, to take some very interesting topics that you normally would not see on TV and put them on there. Like, I want to see, and they're going to do them in a comedic way. So I want to see them do The Driving While Black and make it funny, right, and edgy. I want to see them do possibly touching on Trayvon sort of situations, you know, and make it funny but very edgy. You know what I mean? They have a great opportunity to really do some stuff that these other, you know, let's be clear, sitcom shows are never going to touch, right? I think that's the key difference. I think that's why that name of that show is so in your face. It's Blackish. You know, I think for black people, I think we want to repel from that because we don't want to see, and I'm speaking generally, but we might kind of, we're beyond that. I don't want to deal with that anymore. And maybe we are, but I think the dominant culture, which is 90% of these shows, they don't deal with that, right? They may think it's funny. They may, though, this is interesting. I don't normally look at things through their point of view. And that's how I think that when you name it Blackish, it's from somebody else's point of view, right? It's not the general consensus point of view, even though the characters may think or may want to see themselves as, hey, I have the same point of view as everybody else. I want to raise my family just like everybody else. But these particular characters, maybe the father, I think Anthony Anderson's character, for instance, is that Archie Bunker, but he's the reverse. He's the George Jefferson who doesn't, you know, he does see the difference, and maybe he shouldn't see the difference, and maybe that's what his character has to try and learn, but he may never change because obviously that's the show, right? But so I'm curious to see how they play. I would be love to hear non-black people's take on this show and what they thought about it. Go ahead.
I just want to say real quick, and then we'll move on. One of the fundamental problems I have with the title is that it indicates, or it would attempt to say, that this is something that all black people have gone through. And it's not. I mean, the minute the show starts, he talks about growing up in the hood and, you know, struggling and his parents wanted him to be the first to graduate from college, so on and so forth. And it's like, that is one black experience. It's not every black experience. So when you name the show Blackish, ignorant people will look at me and say, and assume that I had that same shared experience, and that's not the case.
Right, but and I think your problem, though, is not the show. The problem is your problem with those ignorant people's perceptions, right? Because he's the character is only speaking about his. He doesn't say all black people, so no one's put that in there.
I understand, but the title of the show speaks against that, is what I'm saying.
Well, the title of the show speaks to that particular character's, what's the word, low self-esteem of self, you know what I mean? Like, he's framing things like that. Even his other, you know, the wife isn't doing that, the kids aren't doing that, but Anthony Anderson is the title character, so it equates to him. I don't think this show is, again, it's only been that first episode, so it's not speaking for all black people. I think we, and that's why I said, it's interesting we as black people will see it that way, because we're very sensitive to not be wanting to be lumped in together with everybody, right?
If you call a show whitish or Jewish,
it doesn't speak for everybody, though. It speaks for that character that's in the show.
I don't think the average person would make that equation.
Well, they may not, but I'm saying your that's why I said your problem is with the average person you're speaking about that you think is going to stereotype you. But the show cannot be responsible for what everybody else thinks about. That's all I'm saying. I mean, we can't expect it to sort of like speak for everyone, as you just said, right? And the character, again, only speaks of himself. Even the other parts of his family don't agree with him. So no one's saying it is speaking for all black people. But I'm saying, I think I'm just kind of, when I'm here, it sounds like us, though. We're so sensitive to that. That's our fear, is that we're afraid that people will think. And that's why we're like, well, I'm not like that. I don't think that. Fine. And that's why I'm curious what other races would think of this. Do they see it at the lens as we perceive them to, that they just group us all together, or are we doing that?
I just assume by the end of the first season of this show, whenever I go to a store and there's a white person in front of me, the person behind the cash register will say, "Hello, sir." And then when I walk up and say, "What's up, man?" You know, that kind of thing.
That does happen.
Huh?
That happens to me all the time, too.
And that's what happens to you. But again, it doesn't mean it happens to everybody. We all have our own unique sort of situations, right?
For the record, I too hate it when non-black people call me bro.
Well, see, I don't mind that, because a lot of times, you know, and I'm going to break it down by, you know, region, but a lot of times, you know, people who are non-black, shall we say, are in that like surfer, rocker valley dialect, dude, bro, what's going on, man? So that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but that a lot of them don't. Plus, a lot of them are not coming from that culture when they say it either.
True. There's a local person here in town, local TV personality who was on Comedy Central, God, years ago, named Mark S. Allen. I don't like him. White guy. I don't like him because he's white. You know, I'm going to say that. But I met him at a sushi bar once, and this was back when I was doing my nonprofit. I walked up to him and asked him to get involved in our golf tournament, and he shook my hand for 5 minutes. Oh, what's up, brother? You know, yeah. I'm like, the fuck?
This is a white
guy? Beat your ass on principle. Yeah, this is a white
guy. Shake my goddamn hand.
I notice a lot of older white guys do that.
You know, that just pisses me off. And sometimes in court, you know, a few of the bailiffs will do things like that who know me or who don't know me, excuse me. And I think a lot of it, though, isn't trying to be insulting. I think they see someone like me or someone like you, or all of us for that matter, we're not stuffy. You know, we're not uptight. It's like, okay, I can be a little more friendly to these guys, not because they're black, just because they don't carry themselves all uptight. Because I've seen, there are judges I know who are black who are, I hate the word stereotype, but it's just as uptight as, you know, the average uptight stereotypical white guy. So I think, like Mike said, I think every situation is different.
I think this show could possibly go a long way to dispel other races' stereotypical view of black people, that we're not all into the yo, and we're not all into the handshake. You don't have to just shake my hand as you would anybody else. I think that part of me thinks this show is not really made per se for you, Q Storm, because you are going to see this a different way because you're of the subject of what this is, and it's dealing with a subject that is somewhat taboo to talk about. It's very sensitive.
But see,
and they're making a joke. Well, let me finish. I'm saying that because just from the points that he just made about the different examples that have happened, and we can all sort of agree sometimes we've experienced these things, and what are they based off? They're based off of stereotypes, right? This show is trying to, I would imagine this show, at least from the first episode, is seeming to deal with some of the stereotypes head on. It's making them funny, but it's pointing them out like, that's kind of stupid. I would almost put this show in the same realm thematically, what it's trying to do, possibly, of what The Boondocks does. It's almost, The Boondocks, though, is shaming black people to show how stupid the stereotypical shit that we do is, and showing it to us in a very funny, edgy way. But that, to me, this show is sort of doing the same sort of thing. It's just that it's live action, and it cannot be as hardcore as The Boondocks, and, you know, to blatantly clown you. But I'm curious if they deal with other very taboo-ish type of topics that are about stereotypes, if it will deal with them. Go ahead.
I think Ampu put it, he touched on one of the issues I had. And I'm not trying to come off as being against this show. That's not it at all. But Ampu put it best. He said, this guy, he looks like he's in his mid-40s. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's been in this neighborhood with this company for some time because he's being considered for an SVP position. Why is this where the show lands us? We're coming to the middle of the show, into the middle of the story. This has all been established. Why now is he having all of these issues with his children? I'm basing this on two things. I've worked in the advertising world, and I worked for the largest black owned advertising agency in the country in Manhattan. So I've worked and circled amongst other black people who are of the same quote unquote ilk, and I've gone from California to the East Coast, been all over the country. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see the black family that has a father like this that's like so concerned about his kids losing their identity. It's like black people have infiltrated the suburbs for the last 30 years. This is not a new thing.
Right?
Yeah, thank you. That's the issue too. Like,
well, I agree with you, but as we said earlier, this is not speaking to all black people. I think some people used the same argument about the Cosby when it first came out. Like, I don't know any black people that live that life. But obviously, why can't we live that life? Again, it's not speaking for, as you said earlier, I agree with you, it's not speaking for everybody. So I don't know why you're taking.
But who is it speaking to? Who's this? Who's,
well, again,
this
as
show?
We talked about, black people are not in a box, right?
I say, who's watching the show then?
Blacks, whites, everybody. Apparently, if it's got 12 million people, it's the same people who watch Modern Family, apparently, right?
I understand, but...
So that's who's watching it.
Okay. Well, I can say this openly. Black people are so diverse and have right. such a different levels of finance, mm-hmm. Social strata,
very
X,
true.
Y, and Z.
Very true.
Who's watching the show? I mean, if it's someone like me, I'm saying this. What is the premise? I see this. I see families like that living in those types of neighborhoods everywhere I go.
Well, again, I can only answer you. You're asking who is it made for? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm asking who's watching the show.
Numbers, it's the same people who are watching Modern Family. That's the simple answer to your question, right? Because that's what they say. They said the 12 million people who watched the first one. And I haven't seen Modern Family, to be honest with you. But whoever is the people watching that, for the first episode at least, they are the ones who are watching this show.
I guess what I'm suggesting that the people, whether black or white, who are watching Blackish, mm-hmm. they would say, I see those types of families in white neighborhoods all the time. What is the big deal?
Well, again, I don't think they're saying that question, obviously. They're watching a comedic show. I don't know if they say those same questions when it comes to the show that was previous or the one previous atop of that. I can only say is that I would imagine they are watching something because they think it's entertaining. I think some black people might be watching it, not necessarily for the entertainment reasons, but one, kind of the things you're saying, I don't see this, it's not reality to me, this is not funny, blah, 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 then that's fine. But I'm saying, I don't know. So to answer the question, we answered who's watching it. Who takes away and continues watching it, we will see. Who is the show made for? We will see as we continue on. You may not see anything in it that appeals to you, and that's fine.
I'm not going that far. As I said, I've only seen 10 minutes, and it did not make me laugh. Maybe it will if I keep with it. I'm just addressing the politics of it. And let me ask this. Didn't D.L. Hughley and Damon Wayans do this like 15 years ago?
They had sitcoms.
Yeah,
he did this with his show, The Hughleys.
Right, exactly.
That ran for like 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah, so it's like, okay.
Coincidentally, it started on ABC.
There's nothing new here.
Well, no, I don't think anybody said there's anything new.
I understand. I'm not saying that anyone is saying. I'm just saying if you are going to be inspired to do a show that could be, like you said, Mike, a platform for disseminating how one type of black person thinks or one section of black culture is like or whatever. I mean, do something original. That's all I'm saying.
I wouldn't argue with that. I would say that for all TV, and obviously most of these shows are derivative of
other shows. Yeah, but this is more. This is more impactful because how often do we see black faces on TV, being portrayed or attempting to be portrayed in a light that's not stereotypical?
Well, right. Again, they would all probably fall under the key of The Cosby Show, but again, all of them are derivative. That's my point. You could say The Cosby Show came first, and the ones you mentioned are just following that lead, right?
Right, I'm saying just, you know that the template's there, but just do something different with the template. That's all I'm saying.
Right, okay. So definitely, what day does the show come on? It comes on
Wednesday at 9:30.
Wednesdays. And then, you know, the other cool thing, too, is I don't know if it's ABC. What channel does Scandal come on? Is that
maybe? No, Fox? Is that Fox?
No, Scandal's ABC as well.
So, and I believe that also, there's two blocks of programming that night, What the Gut Scandal and the new show, which I have not seen yet.
How to Get Away with Murder.
How to Get Away with Murder. They seem to both have done very well that night. So, you know, give Disney some props. They're definitely giving some different types of black programming a shot, and they seem to be having some very good success with that. So we'll see where they go.
Hey, don't forget Grey's Anatomy, which comes out on 8, is Shonda Rhimes' baby.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
How many seasons has that got behind it now?
I think it might be 11 or 12.
Oh, my God. No, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, as much as I don't like the premise of Scandal, got to give Shonda Rhimes respect. She's made some pretty good shows.
That's pretty impressive for an angry black woman.
Wow. Throwing that label.
that was actually from an article. Somebody wrote that.
Some white
success in Hollywood as an angry black woman or something. Oh, wow.
Some white woman from the New York Times, who apparently has a history of not getting her facts right, tried to compliment Shonda Rhimes and wrote that.
Interesting. Actually, you know, now I heard wasn't there something about what's the lady that stars in the murder show? I should know her name.
Viola Davis.
Didn't they call her something crazy?
Oh, yeah, the same writer. She said
somebody's tweeted or said something about you are special, you use is special, use important or something like that. She's waiting for her to say that. I was like, what?
Well, no, the writer, I'm not sure, but you're addressing Anthony, it might be the same writer, but the writer that wrote about Shonda Rhimes, she wrote about Viola Davis. She tried to compliment her by saying something like she manages to do wondrous things even though she's not classically beautiful or something like that.
Damn.
I did hear about that. The other one was somebody made reference, I think, to her character in The Help and was waiting for her to play an auntie mama in the show. But it just goes to show you, man, there's some of these cats that's in their media is off the charts.
I don't know who that woman is, but damn it, if my wife looked that good at that age, I'd be a happy man.
For sure.
Which woman? Who? Viola Davis?
Viola Davis, yeah.
All right. Before Q says something that's going to
shut us down,
some trouble.
I think Viola Davis is an attractive woman. Let me shut up.
See, I'm trying to save you, bro. All right. Real quick, you're turning us into geeked out, but I wanted to bring up a big movie came out this weekend, Denzel Washington, The Equalizer.
Yes.
Got a chance to see that. I'm gonna go to you first. I would just say that I saw this movie last night in IMAX. Wow, it's crazy. But go ahead. What's your view on this movie here?
You know, I think that I put up a review on qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. I gave it 3.5 out of 5 reels. I think I put it like this: the short of it, Denzel Washington. If The Equalizer were a concert and Denzel Washington was performing on stage and I was at the edge of the stage, I'd be taking off my panties and throwing them on the stage. This guy can do... I have a man crush on Denzel Washington.
Let you do your thing. Go ahead.
Are you going to do this? Are you waiting for a Holly and Sanaa Lathan? That's what you're throwing the panties for?
I just remember when we reviewed 2010 and Mike was talking about Sticky Like Glue. He said, I'm throwing my panties on the stage.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing the same thing.
It was just this type of show.
Deal with it. I think, to me, it proves that Denzel Washington, he's like the Robert De Niro, the African-American Robert De Niro. He does one thing, but what he does is so fucking good. I mean, I could see him actually at 59 years old. I could see this dude potentially wearing the Black Panther suit after watching this movie.
Now, see? Just argued this whole point the last show, but that's all right.
I mean, I say that with a little bit of hyperbole. It's a movie worth seeing. It has a lot of flaws. The biggest flaw for me is that at some point, Denzel's character, Robert McCall, he becomes almost as superhuman as Bruce Willis became in the Die Hard franchise. It's like at a certain point, you don't even see him beating up the bad guys. We just see the result of him beating up the bad guys. So we just assume he took them out. But the fight scenes, the action is choreographed brilliantly. I give my hat comes off to Antoine Fuqua. The story is steeped in 80s mythology, I think. I mean, there's even one scene I wrote in my review. There's one scene where literally Denzel says, I'll be back, when he's torturing a guy. So, yeah, I think it's a good potboiler. It's in, like I say, it's in the vein of those late 70s, early 80s, kind of like Schwarzenegger action movies. It gets a little bit implausible, but in the end plays like the end of the movie plays kind of like Saw meets Home Alone. But I'd say it's worth seeing. The main guy who the main bad guy, I forget his name, Sokas, I think is the actor's name. Look at him closely. This is the same. This guy's a brilliant actor. He plays it so hammy. He's like one part Hans Gruber from Die Hard. And he's a little bit of Kevin Spacey. And he's the same actor who plays, if you remember Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I don't recommend you remember that film, but if you remember the scene where Electro is trussed up and there's this weird-looking scientist who's torturing him?
That's him?
That's the same actor.
Wow.
And when I saw him, I was like, I know that guy from somewhere. And when I went to his IMDb page, it's the same guy. So that guy's a good actor. He went from that to doing this. So, yeah, I would say just for a popcorn action flick, a really almost hokey but entertaining action flick, this is the one for the year.
Yeah, let me just quickly co-sign that. Denzel is playing Batman, okay?
Yes, like, yes. He's playing the Punisher.
Batman. He is. You know what he's playing? And I've talked about this genre. He's playing the wrong motherfucking one. Like, that's the dude. He, you know, you've seen this. This is basically what's the Steven Seagal movie where he was the chef?
Under Siege.
This Under Siege. This is that same genre. It's the guy who works at Home Depot. You know, older brother. You know, seems to be well respected in the neighborhood. He's very meticulous, clean. You know, the older cat, right? Quiet. And what happens is he ends up. He goes to this diner every night to read his book, you know, and sip on his tea. You know, he ain't bothering nobody. And the little white girl played by Hit Girl from Kick-Ass, right? She's like a prostitute. He sort of befriended her. They have a little innocent little conversations. But he notices one day her pimp beats her ass. And we can kind of tell, like, he's dealing with something in his mind. Like, he's wrestling with, should I do something? Should I step up and help her? And he, I'm sorry?
He's just like Al Pacino. Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can tell he's just kind of wrestling with something. So he decides, you know what? The pimp dude gives him a business card and said, man, leave this bitch alone. If you want some other hoes, holler at me, but I got to put my foot down on her. You know, she disappears. We see her in the hospital. So he goes to this Russian gangster dude's place by himself, you know, walks up into the den. And this is Denzel. So, of course, the swag is high. You know, the Denzel flair is popping. He can't, like, hide that. But he comes in just so smooth. And he's just basically like, you know, it's some shit's about to go down. Because Denzel is that dude anyway. And the fact that this character seems to just not give no fucks. And, you know, you can just tell, like, he's incredibly smart. The scene that pops off, he takes out, what, Q, what, 5-6 dudes?
Yeah.
In like 20 seconds. And it's the most brutal.
Yes, it is.
Hardcore action scene. Shout out to, what's the director's name?
Fuqua.
Fuqua, you know, he did Training Day. He did this last movie, was the same sort of genre. Not White House Down, but what was it called? It was the president, you know, it was guarding the president.
Olympus has fallen.
You know, very brutal. So he goes, this guy, that's his bread and butter. He's going to go hardcore. So they go hardcore. You know, a guy like me, Nick, I'm all in. Yeah, I love this shit. But it's Denzel doing it. And just throughout the movie, and then this is great. The other thing, Marvel, you need to hire Fuqua to do one of your joints. Because if these motherfuckers had a cape and cowl on and the other dude was the Joker or something, this would have been a head buster. It was basically Batman without all that shit. He was the dude. He was that special agent. He must have been trained by ninjas and, you know, everything else. He's MacGyver. All of that. And he ain't scared of nanny. Like, they go and get this big time Russian dude from Russia to come over and regulate and set stuff up. And as you said, Q, that dude is no freaking joke. Like, he comes over and you think he's all prim and proper, but he gets to putting these clowns in their place so smooth. You cannot help but love this character. He is an excellent bad guy. He is brutal to the core. It's a very brutal scene that establishes him, that he is not to be effed with. And you want to see, like, how are these two going to go head up, because they seem to be kind of the same. Last thing, there's one point in this movie that I had to call total bullshit on. And that is the part where the bad guy shows up at Denzel Washington's house.
Yes, I was going to mention that, but I didn't want to spoil it.
I was like, how in the fuck did he find out where he lives? That was absolute bullshit. But
Wait. You're talking about just when the guy shows up initially?
At his door. Knocks on the door. That was bullshit. There's no way.
But he had all the cops in his back pocket. They could easily. I could see that.
How would they know his address, though? Why would they know his name? Those little pictures that they show that he had of him. How would they establish of that big city? I don't know what city this was, but how would they going? How were they gonna? That was like, that's some bullshit.
Remember when he attacked? When he beat up the two cops that were?
That was some bullshit too. How did he get that phone number? They never explained that. Even the cop asked him, how'd you get this number? But you know what? I let it go. Because it was a badass scene. But I was like, that is bullshit.
I thought you were going to say, and I'm not going to spoil it. I'll try to not to spoil this. But I thought you were going to say when the cops came to capture him and he's stitching up his wound in the bathroom.
Oh, no. I knew that was going to happen. You could tell that was going to happen.
Yeah, but without giving it away, how did he manage to do what he did? I mean, he got it like that? He can just move from place to place?
I would imagine, since the guy is so meticulous, he probably already had that place on standby just in case some shit popped off. I can go with that. He's obviously some super high-tech dude or, you know, mercenary cat.
I believe that less than I believe. I accepted that less than I accepted the other things you were talking about. But they were some bullshit. I agree with you, but...
Yeah, this was like, I don't understand how he got there. But let me just finish.
Okay.
The scene that follows that, though, I mean, that scene itself was tense. Like, those two standing toe-to-toe, I was like...
Oh, that was dope, man.
Yeah, they was going back and forth. I said, that's some acting. Both them cats is doing their thing. This cat's going right up there with Denzel, and Denzel's doing. That was dope. I wish Denzel would have rocked his jaw right there. But that would have been the end of the movie.
When he stepped out of the door frame, when the bad guy shows him the photograph of the other hooker.
That was cold, right?
And Denzel's just still smiling. He's like, oh, yeah, no, I don't recognize her, but you going to tell me who she is? He steps out the door into his face. You going to tell me who she is?
That was classic. First of all, that's acting, but that's also the game of Denzel Washington. I just think on a personal level to be able to play that. I was like, that's some nigga shit. That's right. Well, I don't know that bitch. Oh, what? Like, I was like, yeah. Yeah, that was a cold movie. Let me finish this. Okay. This is a great movie, man. The action of it, the suspense of it. Denzel's character is a one-note character. He was never scared. There's the great scene again where he goes and talks to the bad guy, and he just lays it down to him. The partner, let me tell you what I see. That whole scene is classic. When they just sitting at the table at the restaurant, he's like, you want to know what I see? That was dope. Denzel did his thing. The white dude, when he said, you think you know me? That was cool. Those two dudes are excellent, man. This gives me faith in Denzel. This is what I'm talking about. Even though this is an action movie, he was a real Denzel in this movie, not just backing up somebody. Love this all the way. I was surprisingly shocked at this movie. Dope. I hope they have a sequel. I hope it is as good as this. But
they've already greenlit a sequel.
They did? Oh, okay.
That's what I've read.
Yeah, this was awesome. And I think this is why you would put a Denzel. He needs to be in one of these superhero movies, because this was his origin story. He was badass. He can, and Fuqua, he did his thing, man. They had big explosion, all the explosions and all the craziness. I was like, this motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah, they had that cliche. Big sexy.
Yep.
You and I talked about that cliche shot where you have the hero walking to the lens in slow-mo while shit blows up behind him.
But he had that walk, though.
They had to do that.
He had that Denzel walk, even at the end when he's just walking. He was walking out the. They had the cliche, it's raining in the water showdown.
Yeah.
I was rolling. I was like, yeah. And he went, pop, 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 pop. I'm like, I'm going to see the movie again.
Mike, what did you think about the part? You remember when he walks into the restaurant and that one Boston cop is trying to act all tough, and he puts his gun on the table and he says, it wasn't Denzel. It was. The main Russian.
Oh, the
dude,
white dude. Yeah.
And the white cop, he's like, puts his gun on. This is my town. This is my town.
Yeah, he showed him. Whose town it was.
Denzel had him handcuffed, and he was like, he turned into a little bitch. You ruined me. I got nothing. I'm a dead man.
Denzel, what he said, make a decision. It just harkened me back to Training Day when he had them dudes hemmed up in the alley or whatever, and they were trying to rape their girl.
Yeah.
He said, make a decision. What you want? I mean, that's his thing, man. He's a cold dude.
Denzel's the fucking man. I can't wait to see the sequel. I just hope they fix up some of the things about this movie that they got wrong, like those implausibilities you were talking about. I think that was a hindrance. I think it was a little longer than it needed to be.
I agree.
And I think that Denzel's character should have. I thought it. Like I said, at a certain point, he was too much of a Superman. I needed to see more than him just stitching up one cut throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, he was all of the characters. He was unstoppable, and he was never in peril and scared at all. He was
like the Justice League all rolled into one.
Yeah, there you go, pretty much. All right, as you can see, we love this movie, so definitely check out The Equalizer.
Hey, Justice fellas. League rolled up into one?
Pretty much.
All right.
Hey, fellas, since we're talking about Denzel, I got to watch in Training Day the other day. I know it's been, 13 years? Give or take since that last movie, but do you think that he could play that role again in like a prequel? Because I kind of want to see Alonzo back on the screen again.
I would watch it. He looks obviously a lot older though.
He's dead though, isn't that a problem?
He said prequel.
How you get around that.
Nah, I don't want to see him. See him turn into a dirty cop?
No, I want to see I want to see him as Alonzo again, but they killed him off, so it'd have to. So in my mind, it'd have to be a prequel.
That's what I'm saying. So in the prequel, we would see how he became a dirty cop.
I want to see him be dirty as fuck. Maybe he did. Maybe he succeeded before doing that to Ethan Hawke or somebody else.
Yeah.
I would frown upon it, but yeah. If it was Denzel and the same people, I mean, they're high caliber actors, so I would imagine it'd be good, but I would prefer they not do it, but I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah. I think there's a way to do it. I wanted to see Alonzo again. Denzel as Alonzo. He was freaking awesome, and I think that'd be the only way to do it in my mind.
Yeah, that would definitely be. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to do that the way they do things these days. I don't think he's been in a sequel, though.
Denzel?
Yeah.
Ah, that's a good point. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't think he does sequels. All right. So I want to change gears here. I want to play some audio, and then we'll set it up after the audio. So bear with me.
Can I see your license, please? Get out of the car! Get out of the car! Get on the ground! Get on the ground!
I just got my license. You're taking my license. I got my license right here. That's my license right there.
Put your hands behind your back. 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 Put your hands behind your back.
What did I do, sir?
Are you hit?
I think so. I can't feel my leg. I don't know what happened. I just grabbed my leg.
Rachel on A66, I need a 1052.
Why did you shoot me?
Well, you dove head first back into your car.
I'm sorry.
Then you jumped back out. I'm telling you to get out of your car.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear two words, sir. Ah.
Hold on a sec.
My leg is right here in the ground. I didn't hear
nothing. Rachel on A66.
Okay, that's shocking audio. What happens there? This is it's in South Carolina. State Trooper Sean Grubert was arrested and charged with assault and battery.
You say Goober?
G-R-O-U-B-E-R-T. Grubert. I don't know if I'm saying
okay.
All right.
Close enough.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Goober.
The pronunciation of Tag Force is heavy on this podcast.
No, that was a joke. Goober, like Gomer and Goober.
Oh, okay. Let me start over. So He was a goober. Yeah, he was an idiot. South Carolina State Trooper Sean was arrested and charged with assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature after he shot an unarmed black man repeatedly for not getting his ID out of his car quickly enough during a routine traffic stop. The victim was LeVar Jones, 35. He's been driving his SUV. He was in a convenience store parking lot on September 4th. When Sean approached him, Jones got out of his vehicle, and it's kind of here in the video, and he appeared unconfrontational, addressing the officer as sir and abiding by the law enforcer's instructions without hesitation. After being told to present his ID, Jones reached into his vehicle, only for Sean to begin shooting him moments later. Jones is heard on the video stating that he thinks he was struck by a bullet as Goober is seen with the gun in hand approaching him. After being shot multiple times and sustaining injury, Sean is heard pleading, "What did I do? I just got my license. You said get my license." And at one point you can see in the video when he pulls out of the car to get the license, the guy starts shooting him. And even one of the times he's got his hands up again, hands up, right? And the guy shoots another shot. Let's just go around real quick. Again, the guy was arrested and charged with assault. Big Sexy, man. Is this just an open and shut sort of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because when you have the privilege of deadly force, you need to be faced with deadly force. This guy had his hands up, was getting in his car after being told to get his license, and he shot him. This cop is an idiot. Their department is going to be sued for millions, and this cop is going to be arrested and then fired and then go to jail. It is that simple. You know, give me your license. Okay. Wait. Now I'm going to shoot you. The fuck, man? You know, and again, I've said this before. I don't think it's really, quote unquote, a racial problem. I think it's a bad training problem. I think it's just people in various departments aren't doing their job. They're giving these younger cops too much credit for knowing what they're doing simply because they've, you know, gone through the academy. Well, the academy ain't getting it done. because this is some bullshit and this shouldn't have happened. So this cop has to go away. Sorry, nothing personal.
Aunt Pooh, what do you think?
I have to echo a Big Sexy sentiment that this wasn't a racial thing. In a sense, it was, because I don't think that it was if that had been a white man, that would have went down like that. But I don't think that it was precipitated by the cop being racist. Maybe him being prejudiced and just the monks coined this phrase, scaredy cop. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what police procedure is, but I mean, and I want it to be like, oh, okay, I know there's going to be more. There's going to be a long form, longer version of this video, and all these racist conservatives are going to come out the woodwork. See, that's why he came out like that. But if you see the longer version of the video, the cop was just sitting right there. He backs up, and then as the guy is getting out of his truck, he pulls up, and immediately he seemed very confrontational. Let me see your license. It wasn't like, you know what, he didn't explain anything. It was just, let me see your license, kind of like, let me see your freedom papers, boy, type of thing. Maybe it was racial then. But anyway, but yeah, it was just if you see that, you're just saying like, okay, where's your police procedure? Why are you the guy is halfway out of his door. I don't know police procedure, but I'm sure they probably like get him out of the door so you don't have that situation where you're like, okay, what is he going into his car for?
Well, I don't know the nature of the call. What was the nature of this call?
It looked like he just saw him.
No.
Instead of the traffic stop. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt, of all things.
Right. That's your probable cause to get him out of gunpoint?
I think the guy, it looked to me like they stopped at a gas station convenience store. It looked to me like the guy was coming out of the car, out of his van. And then the cop pulled up after seeing him without the seatbelt on and then asked him for his license. So I think the guy was getting out of his car not knowing that the cop was going to pull up at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And when the cop pulled up, you see that he's halfway in the car or not. I don't know police procedure, but I think common sense is get him away from the car or get him in the car where you have a proper line of sight to see the actions that he's doing. So that's on you. You know, you're supposed to. This ain't the UFC, but protect yourself at all times. Sure. That was just kind of stupid to have the. He probably didn't. He didn't know that he was bringing out a license, but shouldn't you know better to not give him that opportunity to be able to get the drop on you with a weapon if that's what you're fearful of? And then the other thing. Oh man, I lost it. Move. But my other thing is that once he does shoot him and the guy is on the ground and you establish that there's no weapon, that there's a license on the ground, he says, put your hands behind your back. And at any point, that man has not done anything wrong to warrant you to go about the whole arresting process. I was like, where was the compassion? You just fucked up and almost killed a guy and you're still... In my opinion, you're about to be an ass and go through the whole process of arresting him. And then when you find out he has been shot, you're still having him held on down on the ground behind your fuck up. Yeah, he does have to go.
Can I put my two cents in?
Certainly.
I'm just going to look at this from all. I'm a two sides of the coin. If I had to defend this cop in court, because he is entitled to a defense. If I had to sit down with my Adderall and my caffeine and be up all night trying to come up with a defense for this cop, the only thing I could come up with is that when the cop asked the guy to show him his license, he turns his back and goes into the car. And then when the cop says, down on the ground, the guy turns around really fast. That's the only minuscule thing. And so the cop's not sure what he's going to turn around with. Is he going to turn around with a weapon? Was he reaching for a weapon? If I had been the brother getting out of the van or the car, and this is not an attempt to blame the victim, I may have said, okay, and I have said this when I've been approached by a policeman. I've said, okay, officer, I'm reaching in the car for my wallet. And you know where I learned that? I learned that from Amadou Diallo. Okay? Having said all that, this cop was completely in the wrong because under what circumstances does he think a guy who's facing him is gonna be dumb enough to turn around and expose his back and expect to get the jump on the cop with a gun when the cop is already facing him? So, I mean, to me, I'm not a policeman. I know they go through whatever they go through the course of a day. Their lives are in danger on a daily basis, potentially. But if I've been trained to think and to kind of mentally map out the situation, I'm thinking this guy's not going to reach. He's complying. He's not aggressive. He's probably trying to get his license. And I'm going to put myself into a strategic position where if he is going for a gun, I will still be able to maintain the drop on him. So yeah, it's really bad training, or he was just a horrible student. Sure. And then to ask the guy, are you hit? That's like throwing salt into the wound, isn't it?
I'm like, stupid.
Well, yeah. Maybe he,
motherfucker, you shot me and now you don't know about your own accuracy? Fuck yeah, I'm hit.
Clearly. I mean, he shot four times and hit him once in the hip? I mean, okay, I guess we got to give him the benefit of the doubt that he was moving as he shot, but still. But yeah, I have to Q Stone's point, if you were going to find any fault with the victim, it was that, you know, and I definitely tell my son or any of the homies, like, look, if you're asked for your license and you ain't got it on your purses and it's in your car, let them know.
But again, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be the only thing he messed up on is he could have said, my license is in the car, sir. Which I still think is like, damn, you know, you really have to outline that in today's world when you're pulled over by the cops. But apparently you do.
I was also going to say, I completely understand why the guy didn't say anything, because you got to understand, he is in the convenience store parking lot. And all he was pulled over, from what I read, he was pulled over because he wasn't wearing his seatbelt. So that means he wasn't pulled over for speeding. He wasn't pulled up over because he had a broken tail light or brake lights were out. So he's thinking, oh, this is just, you know, mundane. I don't know what this is about, but this ain't nothing because I wasn't doing anything. Let me just go get my wallet. So he was, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't in the, he didn't feel like he was under any type of scrutiny. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I can understand why he didn't say anything to the cop. He's like, I didn't do anything wrong, so okay, let me get my wallet.
Which goes to why, on some levels, I think it is a racial thing.
Me too, yeah.
Because the guy, obviously, whether he was overtly scared or his fear of what he thought this guy was going to do. Well, let me be clear. I don't know if it's racial because I don't know how he acts in other stops, but I'm assuming that it was a little racial for the cop because he might have been afraid of a black person, possibly this black man. I don't know what they're going to do. They could kill me in a second. So I have to fire. You know, yes, the lack of training, the lack of, again, somebody brought up his age. Maybe he doesn't have experience and has knowledge enough to understand that everyone is not a freaking killer thug or something, that he would have to react in that manner. It also shows sort of his lack of compassion, or seeing that this victim is even the same as me. He's lower than me, because the way he talks to them after he shot goes to show you that I don't think he ever says I'm sorry. He's like, well, you fucked up, you should have did what I that's what happens to you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, that sort of, you know, that's the more damning. That's the kind of shit that goes to show. So that's the mind frame of this guy. So of course he sees you as nothing. So he will blast
you know he knows that dash cam is going. He can't say, oh my god, what did I do? He can't say that.
Well, he can shoot you. He knows it. He knows that dash cam is going when he shot the person too, and he thought he was all in the right. So I think he just, in his mind, he just thinks that, well, you're just a nagger. Like, what? Of course I'm going to shoot you. You're always a, you know, you're the criminal, man. You're not following my directions, right? You're not doing what I told you to do, boy. And that's when you see a lot of these sort of situations where, when you, and I tell this to, you know, I've told this to the young man here living with me now. Listen, when you get pulled over, when you get stopped, you're riding your bike or something, you need to just keep it, sir. don't, is, I'm not going to say nothing. I am a minor. Can you please call my mom? You know, I here's my ID. Call my parents, because I don't want you to engage with them. I don't want you, they may think you're the thug dude. You know, they may not know that you're a good guy. So let's not give them no ammunition. It's unfortunate that a grown ass man like this gentleman here would have to think that. I mean, move real slow, and you know that we have to do that. But that's kind of where we're at right now, right? This happened just a few weeks ago. So you know, this is unfortunate. This is criminal. The guys got arrested, but it does go to show that it could happen to any one of us. We're all upstanding dudes, but we have to be clear. Yes, sir. No, my hands are up. I'm reaching in the car now. You know, let's play it safe. Go ahead.
I have a question for Big Sexy. Now, given that, let's assume for a moment that the cop thought that the guy was reaching for a gun, okay, and he shot. Let's just assume that for a second, okay? He did not hit, the wounds to the guy were not fatal. As far as I know, he just got hit in the leg, right? Who knows? He may walk with a limp for the rest of his life. Who knows? Do you think that the cop should be fired, which at the least he should be fired?
Yes.
But do you think he should also get 20 years?
20 years for this particular charge, I don't believe is on the table, because
I read somewhere.
It is. Yeah, they said he could get 20 years.
They said he's going
to get. Well, see, again, you guys have to understand. When it says, when the press release says, oh, he's facing a maximum of 20 years, he ain't getting 20. I mean, assuming this is his first time criminal incident, 20 is not going to happen. Generally, they'll start pleading and probation, and they'll plead it down. They're going to treat him like any other defendant. And
not any other defendant.
Well,
it says he's facing. It doesn't say he's going to get it, but he could possibly get there.
But the only way he'll get 20 is if he goes to court, goes to trial, loses, and the DA says push for the maximum, and the judge says you're getting the maximum. The odds of that are highly unlikely because of the nature of this thing. Is he going to catch a smack? Yeah. He may get some time, but he's not getting 20. You know, he may get like a few. And the thing is, no matter how much time he does or doesn't get, there's going to be some vocal segment who's not going to be satisfied. That's just how it is currently, and I hate that. But does he deserve time? Yeah. Does he deserve 20? No. No.
Yeah, I guess we got to give a shout out to South Carolina that actually not only have said that he was in the wrong, but firing him and putting him on trial for this aggravated assault. I didn't see any of that coming.
They had no choice in the matter, because in light of things that have gone on in other jurisdictions, the last thing they want is a bunch of Al Sharptons starting shit in their backyard behind this bullshit. So that was more preventative maintenance than anything else.
Like, are you
I'm not saying me? Justice wasn't involved, but I'm saying that had to be a part of it.
You do realize in Ohio, they have video of a man just standing there with a toy gun in a non-threatening manner and shot down. And
come on, with a toy sword, right?
It was in Walmart. He had a toy.
No, this is a gun. This is a different situation.
Yeah.
Golly, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, somebody called in saying that he was waving around pointing a gun at somebody. Somebody was putting it on lockdown. They finally released a video. The dude is standing there twirling around the gun like it's a yo-yo or something. And the police come in and shoot him down. And the grand jury didn't indict the police officers.
That circumstance, again, I don't know other than what I've been told just now. It is very possible that the cops were saying, we're told on the radio, look, this guy's got a fucking gun. Handle this. They go in. They see my man twirling his gun like he's Bat Masterson or Wyatt Earp. They're like, oh, no, you got to go. Now, granted, I did not see the video. I don't know if this gun was clearly a toy, like it was like hot pink and, you know, had elephants on it. I don't know. But that's the same procedure pretty much when they're told a stolen car. Procedure with stolen car is pull a car over, everybody out face down. Then we figure it out.
But here's the thing. They didn't even identify themselves.
They were plain clothes?
This was like SWAT. SWAT came in to take him out.
You know who the SWAT is, man. Come on now.
Yeah, that's true. But they never made communications with the guy to talk. Okay, compare this to the white guy in San Diego walking around with a gun pointed at people where they tried to reason with him and tried to get him to turn himself in. They went guns a-blazing with a guy who appears on camera to be no threat whatsoever, not even a real gun, and shot him down dead. Yeah, he not guilty. Nothing was done wrong there.
Again, I'm not taking a side here, but I can see an argument for both outcomes. And one thing we learn in law school, and I'm going to get some groans on this, is that reasonable minds can disagree. And what happened in Ohio was not exactly the same thing that happened in San Diego, and we're talking different people. A whole different. There's a whole. It's really not that cut and dry.
Let's go down the first.
I got to roll.
You got to go. Okay.
It's a 1:45. I got to go do my thing. I will speak to you in the morning.
Yes, sir. You have a good one. Thanks for talking. All right, guys. Real quick, fellas, I wanted to let's take a trip down to Ferguson because that ain't. It's not. You know, they don't cover it in the news very much, but it's still ongoing situation.
Yeah, Roger Goodell.
Yeah, they switched it. But still much going on. Now, recently, the police chief has come out and apologized to the Brown family about the situation, particularly speaking of why the body was in the street that long. And after that press conference, he had an idea. Let me go to the people. Let me go down the street level and go down to the protesters. I think it was protesters at the front of the police station. And so he wanted to go down and show them, you know what, hey, I'm sorry, let's break bread. I want to play a little bit of what happened there.
$100 for a license plate light is ridiculous.
You know you're a thief, right, Chief? You know you're a thief.
No.
You're a corrupt thief. You're running a predator police agency here that has given warrants to everybody in this and all of St. Louis County the same way.
St. Louis County.
Check it out.
No, all I can say is
you're a predator.
All
you're a predator.
We're making changes.
Right here on Pay Relief.
You are a predator. Hey,
hold on. Let me say, if we gonna make a change, can we get him indicted?
It all happened under your watch. What did you have to say about that?
Can we get him indicted by 12 o'clock tomorrow? Y'all ain't seen y'all hands.
No, it's not.
You didn't see
it. No, it's not.
That man on fucking vacation.
Can't do it.
But you're the old black suit.
But you can arrest him.
So you
can arrest him. You fire him.
Can you fire him?
You can't terminate.
Let me stop. There's a little chaotic, but basically he is down on the street. He's got a few little police behind him. Obviously there's cameras there. Everybody's got a camera, but he's smack in the face of people out there protesting, young brothers out there. The one brother shouting tattooed up all in his face. I mean, it's super tense and everyone is screaming at him questions and different stuff. You know, what are you going to do? Why are you out here? Where's the indictment? You know,
how did he even get into that position where he's surrounded by this mob?
He walks down there. He goes into that.
But he doesn't say anything. What does he say something?
Well, he's speaking to them. He was one of the guys talking too.
I did not hear him talking.
Didn't know which one it was. That's there's a lot of people yelling. It's very chaotic. Let me play
the clip
a little
I saw
more.
Was that this white man who I assume was the chief of police standing there just looking at people scream at him.
You know, this one, I don't know what you're looking at. The actual clip is 13 minutes. So again,
it was the one where you put it up saying that there was a mob, police were pushing other policemen.
Yeah, the whole that's what I'm playing right now. So he's talking. Let me see if I can find some more.
All right.
What are we going to do to get justice? Because you see, the whole Ferguson is up in a fucking uproar. The whole city in an uproar. What are we going to do?
So.
Chief,
so do we have a lynch mob? Do we have a lynch mob?
That's the chief saying, do we have a lynch mob?
Right.
Yes, sir.
I guess, why did he go down there? Did he go down there to give a speech for a press conference or something?
I can't speak to his reasons. It was after the press conference he gave. He went down there, I assume, because he wanted to go speak directly to the people. Now, was it a wise situation? No.
Because he wasn't saying anything. That's wrong.
Well, he's talking to the guy. I won't play the whole thing. It's very long. But at one point, he says, you know what? He says something like, this was a fucking he said this was a fucking disgrace or something. He used the F word. You know, he
said, who said that?
The chief. He's like, this was a fucking disgrace. I'm sorry. You know, the whole situation is bad. And the dudes kept screaming in his face, well, what are you going to do? you know, fuck you. And then at one point, the guy that was screaming said, I'm willing to die for all this shit. I'll die out on these streets, you know, to make some change. If you're not going to fucking do anything. I mean, it was crazy. At one point, the chief says, I'll march with you. And a black dude is like, the other black dude is like, well, fuck all them little cops. You don't need all them little cops. If you're going to be real, come over here by yourself. Let them stand back. Ain't nobody going to hurt you. If you want to do something, you don't need them cops. Fuck all that. Da, da, da. So he agrees to this, right? Oh, and this is where it goes crazy. So as he starts going, walking up to him, and at first the big cop dudes just kind of standing back and letting him go into this group of people as they start walking down the street. And then, ironically enough, it's a black dude, some black cop dude, real big dude, comes in and starts pushing because he, you know, they don't want him to go by himself. So he's pushing people out the way to get over to him. And that's when all hell breaks loose, you know. Oh, push me! And then it's just a big shoving match. And then basically a little mini riot sort of situation pops off. And people's pushing and shoving. They're taking the women down on the ground. And they're, you know, cuffing up this one lady. And this lady that's filming says she's the press. I don't know who she was. She's like, that lady didn't do anything. I'm the press. She's fine. Let's let her go. And at this point, it's already... It's pandemonium, right? They're just hemming up people. Viewers out there, you're getting, you know, they're going to take you in for whatever reason. And it's just madness. But it's just like, I asked the same question. Why did he go down there? He made it worse. You know, that situation was already tense. If you are the police chief are going to go down there to that and you don't have the leadership skills, and you don't have the, you know, shout out to Kanye, you don't have the answers, and you got a mob in your face screaming for answers, you're just going to make it worse. Because everything he kept saying, I'm sorry, they're dealing with, you know, that whole situation. They don't want to hear sorry. They want to hear solutions. And right. And he kept saying, it's not on me, it's not on me. Well, you're the fucking chief. If it ain't on you, then you need to quit. Yep. Step down and let somebody else that is making decisions come down there, because you're coming into the hot zone. In the hot zone, they don't want to hear about, I feel your pain. No, you are the exact face of the oppression. So it was a very interesting. I wish they would, they're not, but I wish they would show this on TV, because it's like, what is going on when the police chief, obviously that guy needs to be fired, man. He needs to be fired. Go ahead.
The clip I saw, I think the police chief, he's a kind of a overweight white guy in a red jacket or something. He just the look on his face, that guy needs to go. Just he doesn't even look like any kind of leader.
No, he was just scared. I don't know what the
fuck. He looks ridiculous. And that's what I'm saying. If you're the chief of police, even if you want to empathize with the people, you don't go down where they are, where they can come up on you, and then one of them might get a little catch some emotions and grab for you, and then one of your policemen are going to shoot. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that's Ferguson. That's where it's at right now.
Well, Ferguson is fucked because the police don't know what they're doing. Was the big black dude you said, the big black cop that you said, was he the same guy that was that they put out there for all the other press conferences?
No, that guy is respected in the community. That's the guy you would send out,
right,
at a situation like this. No, he is. I don't know if he's even a part of this thing anymore. You never see him anymore.
So. I saw that clip and I was like, wait a minute, what am I watching here? You're gonna go down there, just stand there and look pathetic? What is that? What are you doing?
Yeah, that's crazy. It's nuts, man. And then people still want to see, you know, where's the indictment of the officer? They kept asking, why is he getting paid still? Why is he not being fired? I can't fire him. I can't do anything about that.
You know, they put out a press release or some type of news report where they said the grand jury has till February 23rd,
yeah,
to file if they're gonna press charges against him. I'm like, seriously, 6 months? You need 6 months to determine if his actions warrant indictment. It's ridiculous.
And then one of you put on your Facebook wall, some cop, somebody, a cop shot a dog and he was dealt with right away.
Yes, in Chicago.
Wow.
That's a different neighborhood. Total different
neighborhood. Yeah, that's...
Well, it's a different situation, you know. But your point is well taken by contrasting those two stories.
Yeah, it's just an interesting time right now. A lot of this stuff is out there, and I don't know if we're seeing more of it or it was always there. We just didn't pay attention, but very interesting. Last one. Oh, go ahead.
Absolutely.
All right, we got one more here. This is a sad one too, but Oklahoma City. A man fired from an Oklahoma food processing plant beheaded a woman with a knife and was attacking another worker when he was shot and wounded by a company official. Moore Police Sergeant Jeremy Lewis said police are waiting until Alton Nolan, 30, is conscious to arrest him in the Thursday's attack and have asked FBI to help the investigator after workers at the Vaughn Foods in South Oklahoma City suburb told authorities that he recently started to convert several employees to Islam. Nolan severed the head of Colleen Hufford, 54. Yes, she was beheaded, Lewis told the Associated Press before the news conference. Lewis said Nolan then stabbed Tracy Johnson, 43, a victim of a number of times before Mark Vaughn, a reserve sheriff's deputy, and the company's chief operating officer shot him. This is not going to stop. If he didn't stop it, it had gotten a lot worse. This is Lewis said. The threat had already stopped once we arrived. Essentially, it seems this man was fired from the job that day and came back and literally cut somebody's head off. This is a brother. I say brother since he was a black man. I don't know if he was a brother. But this is a black man, and now they they're trying to sort of correlate the connection between Islam or something. I don't know what to make of this story, man.
There's something missing because how do you go from? I mean, I can see someone just getting shot and killed. Cutting someone's head off is a procedure. How did that happen? I mean, do you not see the knife come to your throat and you scream and run? Or was she killed and then beheaded? You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
At what point do you say, stop beheading me? There's something missing.
I would imagine he probably killed her first or stabbed her or something, or, you know, and she probably bled, fell out, and he just started chopping. I don't know. It's odd. Very odd. What would befall him to... Was he that mad that he lost his job and he's like, I'm going to come back and do something crazy like that? I don't get it, man. What you got on this, Ant?
This is totally crazy. Clearly, this is going to end up being related to ISIS and radical Islam. I don't know. I mean, how bad can life be with you? First of all, I just never understood. I've been let go a couple of times. And I've never wanted to come back and do harm to anybody. So this is a sad state of affairs, you know?
Yeah, to throw a little bit of his background, he has served time in prison. He was on probation for an assault and battery on a police officer. And he was also convicted of cocaine possession with an intent to distribute in 2011. So, yeah, man, I don't know. It says correction records show that Nolan has what appears to be religious tattoos, including one referencing Jesus and one in Arabic that means peace be with you. You know, I don't know how closely they want to tie this. You brought up the ISIS thing. You know, you wouldn't have to wonder if this was some sort of terrorist. I mean, this is terrorism. It's not the stereotypical terrorism, but this is terroristic type of stuff, right? Cutting people's heads off and killing people. You know, I would hope that this is not tied to all of that other stuff, and they're, you know, the media trying to downplay it, not causing a panic to want you to, like, this. No, this stuff is not happening in America. This was just kind of, he just happened to be, you know, Islam. He just happened to sort of be trying to convert people, but he wasn't a radical. Just sort of coincidental type of stuff. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of it, but I have to ask that question. I'm like, man, what if this was really tied to that, but they don't want us to get scared, so we got to play it this way. Yeah, I guess we will be on the watch list talking about this. Just put that out there. If we're not already. All right, it got real quiet on that one, boy.
Yeah, because you're trying to listen to this Prince stuff. I ain't trying to hear about no.
You're not trying to be on that no fly zone.
Yeah. I ain't trying to deal with radical Islam decapitating people.
You want to keep it twerking, huh?
Yeah. Speaking of which, you going to talk about the Fappening 2, part 2?
Oh, wow.
Ratchet!
You are a natural born Nagra.
Hey, you presented the opening with twerking. Oh boy.
We went from some crazy, but hey, I'm not hating. Let's go. Actually, I wanted to ask you, where does that name come from? I'm lost in the reference.
Oh my God. You don't know?
Really, Mike? You don't want to know.
No, go ahead. I'm sure now some listeners may want to know.
So apparently the Fappening is the sound one male makes while masturbating.
I gotcha.
Well, just, well, fap, that sound. And so then
I got
fap is take off of happening, right?
I got it. Okay. Well, with that said, some new nudes have hit the scene. Notable for us would be Megan Good, Gabrielle Union, apparently, I think Rihanna. Who else? Hope Solo, who I not really care about, but
yeah, after seeing the pictures, nah, I don't care either.
Yeah, that looked like some cauliflower or some shit.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, it's continuing on, man. This is crazy.
Yeah, there's some people out there with too much time on their hands, and woo boy, this is getting bad. Apparently, there's a threat out that the next one is going to be Emma Watson. She apparently
from
she
from Harry Potter.
Yes, that Emma Watson.
Wow.
Apparently, she gave a speech and was talking about feminism and why we need and why it's so important in today's world and all the benefit and why she's a feminist. She got the equivalent of a sit down, bitch. Where they said you next.
Terrible.
Pretty much that's what they said. They didn't like what she said. And her news will be next.
Damn.
Yes.
I might have to check those out. I'm not gonna lie.
Wow.
But isn't she's underage, isn't she? How old is she now?
Legal. She's of age now, yes.
She's got a gorgeous face, her body. She's kind of like still like a prepubescent teen.
Yeah, you might want to stop talking.
What? I'm saying those photos are gonna be a little disturbing because she looks so young.
Yeah, the one that I was kind of disappointed with Hayden Panettiere. She had there's a picture of her on the toilet with a glass of wine.
Okay, I need to stop talking. You tell me I need to stop talking.
Hey, I'm just chronicling what was released.
Yes,
but
research purposes, right?
Yes, of course. But Kaylee Cuoco, she didn't let me down. She did not let me down.
Man, you on some Marquis de Sade shit, ain't you?
And then, let's not forget Jennifer Lawrence. She's like the gift that keeps on giving. God damn, that girl is freaky. It's like, how many naked pictures can you take?
Wow. Well, I guess that's the new thing now. I got your pictures. I got dirt on you.
Don't forget Megan Good. She took to Instagram because Yeah, because people were trying to get on her like, you're a preacher's wife, and going on and on and on about that. And she had to point out that there was a FaceTime. Those pictures has my husband in them.
Yeah, now I know people go hard on her because apparently he's a pastor or some sort.
He's heavily involved in church.
Church. You know, I won't try to say anything bad about that at all. I just find it interesting that she's being called to the carpet a lot about being somewhat overly sexualized imagery or whatever. But I've never seen him step out and say, nah, nothing, you know, in her defense. Like, she's always the one that's going at people and stuff. I was just interesting that he never says, hey, that's my wife, back up. It's not, no worries. He just doesn't deal with it, I guess.
I wonder what would be the proper protocol in that situation from his congregation sense.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. That's why I think when they say he's a pastor, he's not like, he doesn't have his own church or anything, does he? I don't know much about this young man. I know he's in the movie business, like a producer or something like that.
For real?
Yeah, he is definitely in the movie business. He has a book out, or it came out maybe a couple years ago, like a motivational type of thing. But he's in the movie business. But he's a Christian. But anyway, but hey, he won. Jesus looks amazing. I'm mad.
The other question I have is, what the hell is Rihanna doing playing GTA naked for?
Hey, I ain't mad at it. keep playing.
That was, everybody asked the same question, like, what the hell was going on in there?
Shit, if I was GTA people, I'd be like, can we license that picture for the ad?
I just have one question, because I saw the photos that she sent over to Chris Brown, and did she have a breast reduction or something? It doesn't look the same to me.
But nah, she went through that phase where she got a little bit. I mean, because, you know, when she came out, she was, I wouldn't say super thick, but she was very thick and bigger. I think as she became more pop, you know, the pressures of Hollywood that you're too big, you need to be smaller for these various things, probably clothing line as well. So she definitely lost a lot of weight. Plus, I mean, hell, there's a mugshot of her getting the ass, of her ass being whipped. So, you know, that probably, that stress weight loss as well. But she's put some of it back on.
Yeah, she always looked kind of skinny to me anyway.
Really? Skinny?
To me.
Here's Michael Dean.
I don't see that at all.
But then again, you can see Tracy Ellis Ross's ass either, so.
Yeah, I saw it with my own eyes. If I could have, I would have taken pictures for you, but I could not.
Wow.
See, that's, well, just wasn't thinking.
I tell you what, the host, I don't know her name. I'm not going to say nothing. She was much better. She was far better than, a far better offering than Tracy Ellis Ross was.
All right. Let me get you in any more hot water with your jobs. So get off of that. Any last things before we wrap this up, gentlemen?
Any new movies coming out? What's coming out next?
Dracula, Hobbit. Dracula Untold, Hobbit, yeah. They actually showed the trailer for Hobbit last night when I saw Equalizer. I'll probably go see that. Anything, I guess, in IMAX looks amazing. I was like, that looks amazing.
I'm probably not. This rollout strategy for the Hobbit, I'm kind of burnt out on it, especially the way the last one ended.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that they were going to kill the dragon in the second movie.
And stretch it out.
The guy who's playing Dracula is also, well, he was a lead in the second Hobbit movie.
Oh, that's right.
He was a human who had the family in that, what, water town or whatever it was, that little village.
Oh, I ain't checking for him.
All right.
Here's one other thing. Nick Cannon and, Amber Rose and Wiz Khalifa breaking up because of Nick Cannon.
Have you seen that picture? I don't know if you guys know the cartoon, Caillou. You ever heard of that? Have you heard of that animation, that cartoon?
Mm-mm.
It's this little white boy who's probably 5. He kind of looks like Charlie Brown.
I think I've seen the picture, though. I don't know.
There's a black female, a little girl character who has dreadlocks.
I saw this picture. I couldn't get the reference of why it was funny.
Well, it says, have you heard that Amber Rose and Wiz Khalifa have broken up? And so the girl, the black girl, is supposed to be Wiz Khalifa, and the white boy is supposed to be Amber Rose, who's bald.
Gotcha. There's one, they have a picture of Jaden and Willow saying that Wiz and Amber Rose are broken up, using them as Jaden as Wiz and Amber Rose as Willow. But yeah, this is just crazy. I'm like, she put up all these different pictures talking about she loves him, and they're breaking up. Like, good Lord. And it's supposed to be for Nick Cannon?
Wow. Unfortunately, I did see some stuff about this, but I guess she came out now on Twitter or Instagram and said that Wiz was cheating on him, which is why.
I can believe that. Well, I mean, you know, rapping, and I hate to use this term, rapping niggas gonna be rapping niggas. You throw some good enough amount of trim at them, they gonna hit it regardless of what's at home. But I think it has more to do with Nick Cannon, though.
I don't know. It just proves.
No shade.
It just proves to me that the grass must always be greener, because I saw a photo recently of Amber Rose. They were on a red carpet and she was wearing a sheer short dress.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn, why would you cheat on that? How many yachts can you sail behind, like Gordon Gekko says, or my man from Wall Street? How many cars do you need? Wow.
Yeah, I hear you. I said the same thing with Halle Berry and her multiple. I mean, who cheats on that? But we never know, man. Maybe you get tired of it. I don't know.
Somebody actually, and I wanted to bring this up on the Prince podcast, but with Derek Jeter's retirement, somebody said we should put up Prince's starting lineup versus Derek Jeter's and see whose is better.
Well, at least I've heard of, at least I know who Prince's is.
Derek Jeter, he's been with Mika Kelly. Let's do a quick.
Was he with Mariah Carey too?
He was with Mariah Carey. They said Tyra Banks. Dated. Somebody put that up. Let me find out.
Well, I get the picture. I get the idea.
Right. Real quick, they'll throw this last. Well, go ahead, unless you got the list. We'll move on.
I'll look for it. I'm looking for it.
Real quick, and we're going to get out of here. I'm gonna throw this in here. One of the big scoops, rumors coming out today, is that the Avengers 3 will be split into two movies. Sort of a la Harry Potter, Twilight, and The Hobbit.
Why do they need to do that? I could see them doing it as a money grab for these novels that are finite, but why do you need to split the story into two for, was it going to be Avengers 3 and Avengers 4? Or?
Again, it's just pure rumor.
I don't believe that then. I don't believe that.
It could be it could be a slick way to snarl some of these actors whose contracts would be up. I suppose, like, well, you are contracted to do one more. Okay, well, actually, we're going to shoot both of them at the same time. How about that? That would be a slick way to do it.
I think their attorneys are experienced enough or smart enough to see through that and be like,
oh, I'm sure. I mean, they probably gonna have to come out of their pocket either way, but I could see why that would be sort of a way to, you know, okay, let's. And again, it mainly could be a money move, right? Just shoot them all two at one time. It would obviously save a lot. You could, if you want to walk away from the role after this, fine. We end it out. At least we have it end. Give them a couple extra million dollars or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's just purely rumor, but interesting.
All right, I got that image for you, if I want that list.
Go ahead, real quick.
We got, damn it, what the hell? We got Mika Kelly, Tyra Banks, Jordana Brewster, Adriana Lima, Scarlett Johansson, Vanessa Minnelli, Mariah Carey, Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel.
I ain't mad at him. All right. I am not mad at him. Just by all them women, I will be sitting up there dressed like Kanye, sitting next to Kim Kardashian.
Oh, Lord.
You want me to wear what, honey? You want me to wear what, honey? Okay. Uh-uh. What color should I wear it in?
Okay, Juice Storm can do that. Derek Jeter and Kanye should not have to. I'm just saying.
The man's side boob. Both of them got cleavage.
But then he want to be mad when Louis and Gucci don't.
That's why they ain't calling you, nigga. Look at the knee. You got your knees out. What is going? What if you would have showed me that picture and said, "This is going to be hip. The coldest cats in hip hop. This is how the fashion." I'd be like, you know what? I'm never going to even get into it. I'm done.
Speaking of that, I always rail against people who say, you know, the black man is they're trying to over feminize the black man. So, and I think it's kind of bullshit. But what is the deal with Dwayne Wade and Cam Newton? Can someone explain? Look, you do what you want to do, fellas, but I just want to understand the rationale behind it. What's going on? Man. My man's wearing capri pants and.
I could see if it was like some little skinny brothers. I mean, but big cats, that just look crazy, man. Like, how does that look? That looks fashion-y to you. But who knows where these people are around, man? They're on a different, they're in different circles, you know. That's...
Yeah, but I don't. What? Okay.
Gabe just ain't in you no more, Q. This is just all. Just
say what? What'd you say?
Gabe just ain't in you anymore. I guess. You don't know what's hot.
I don't understand why would a man. And again, I'm a progressive brother. I live and let live. If you want to dress up in women's clothes, God bless you. As long as you're not hurting anybody, I would like to understand. Why Dwayne Wade wants to walk out in public in these tight ass pants that cut off right below the knee? What is that?
I can explain it real quick.
Okay.
His bank account, and he got bitches.
I was gonna say he got that break baby, and Gabby's dressing him now because she making sure ain't gonna be no more.
He's got all the money. He get any woman he wants, and he doesn't have to listen to nobody, so he doesn't care, which allows him to do. He's free; he can do whatever he wants. So he's just free. He's like, you know, fuck it, then can't nobody tell me nothing.
But would someone think about the kids? Somebody.
Well, you see how Magic Johnson's son, you know, he's free.
Oh Lord!
Well, he's there's no bones about that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, free. He can do. They were raised in a different sort of situation. Do what you want to do.
But I guess what I'm saying is, I'm assuming both of these gentlemen are heterosexual. I'm trying to understand, and there's nothing wrong with it if they are. I'm not attributing any kind of narrow pigeonhole view. But so I'm just interested. What do you? Are you into?
It's the
cross-dressing.
It's the same reason why Prince can get away with it.
I was just going to say,
Prince
has never dressed like that. He's never dressed like that.
Some crazy stuff. He's high heel boots. He wears crazy, you know, the skirt type.
He wears
thing.
High heel boots because he's 4'10".
Exactly.
Yeah, but the tights on stage, the draws. I mean, the costume from Gangster Glam.
He's a performer.
Well, they're performers too.
No, they're athletes.
They're athlete performers. You can be an athlete.
I've heard the term athlete
performer. No, they're performing. Michael Jordan was performing.
He was performing.
Kobe
is
performing
as an athlete.
Right. Well, there's an athlete, they're musicians, but they're still performers. At the end of the day, they are there to entertain people. That's what their job is.
No, they're not there to entertain us. That's just a byproduct of what they do.
Actually, it is entertain us. That's why we pay tickets. That's why they want you to have the tickets.
Saying,
that's why they're on the games. They're performers,
dog. Entertainment industry, but they are not there to entertain us. They are there to win championships.
Right, and that's an entertainment for us. It's sports. We
it's
can argue over that
us,
all
but
night.
They're not there.
Sure,
okay.
We can argue, but I'm just saying that's how they're living their life that way. They're in the public eye, which is why he's wearing that stuff in public. It's to keep him up in your mouth, my mouth, and be entertaining.
Excuse me? Pause.
Well, pause it out, but. I'm just saying they're doing that to get attention. If they were just athletes or whatever, they would be. Some of them are just athletes, but those are the ones who are not the superstars, right? They're on a different level. I'm just saying the same reason why Prince can wear all that crazy stuff on and off the stage, because again, his bank account, he got bitch. And as long as both of them flock to him, then he has no reason to change. And he knows that what he says in the song, putting on another something that another won't dare. That makes him stand out.
Right, because he's a musician and he's a performer. I've never heard of a basketball player referred to as a performer or an entertainer.
It's the same reason why, what's your other guy you love? He used to play for the Chicago Bulls.
That I love?
I'm just, cross-dresser. You know, he was Dennis Rodman. The same reason why he did it. They're in the spotlight, man.
Because he's a nut. That's why he did
it. I know, but I'm saying they're in the spotlight. They want to get attention.
He would dress like that even if he were working at Home Depot.
No, he was not dressing like that back in the days. He dressed like that when he became in the spotlight. And he wanted to separate himself from, you got the King Jordan. I can't play ball like this guy, but I'm on the team. What am I going to do to stand out? Well, I'm going to go this direction. And I'm going to embrace this.
There's a lot of people that would then be dressing like that if that were the case.
You're starting to see that, ain't you?
Yeah. Well, I've seen two brothers in the past week. Well, it's not then, like,
okay, it's more than one.
Wow.
Well, there's Russell Westbrook. There's actually more.
There's probably more coming. But anyway, we got to get out of here. Well, before we go, ladies and gentlemen, before we get out of here, I want to say thank you for listening. Q-Strong, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook at Michael Jones. You can find me on Twitter, QStorm3476. And also, please go to my QStorm.com/lightningstrikesblog. I am running a contest where you can win cash and prizes. And there you go.
How much cash?
How much cash?
Yeah.
You gotta go and find out.
God damn it.
You know what's funny? I was going to put on there all associates and affiliates associated with my Q-Storm and Q-Storm Media Group are void where prohibited.
Look, man.
Hilarious. All right. And Pooh, where can they find you?
Find me on Instagram and Twitter at the at Pooh. And I have a new column up on 401 Mania tomorrow, the top 8 Batman stories. This is piggybacking on the Batman hysteria with the new Gotham show that debuted last week. And I have a new wrestling column up on BlackOutNation.com and all hiphop.com, Breaking Kayfabe.
All right. Please like Facebook. Yeah, don't like Facebook, but like Podcast Juice on Facebook. Also, you can follow us on Twitter now at Podcast Juice. So definitely follow us there. Hey. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Peace.